Some of you would say, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I would dare to differ with you. Getting old is tough. You got aches and pains you didn't even know existed. You are slower than you used to be. Here's what really bothers me. I'm getting more forgetful than I ever have. I mean, I'll come downstairs and I don't know if I'm coming down or going up. And getting old is tough. Getting old. Honestly, my hearing is not what it used to be. And so a lot of times I have to turn my head to hear. And I'm just here to say that getting old is tough. When I'm reading, a lot of times it gets further and further out there so I can see it. And I'm just here to say getting old is tough. I've noticed that as you get older, you're less idealistic, I guess you could say. You're less the optimist, I could say, positively. You're more of a cynic or a pessimist, I could say. And getting old is tough. Now, what I really, really hate is, for me, getting old means I keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And getting old is tough. Well, it's true also spiritually. A lot of times when we were young in our faith, we were zealous. We were on fire for Jesus. We were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And the older we go, the slower we get, the more cranky and pessimistic we get, the more lazy we get. And Calvary's Hill no longer gives us a thrill because we're just not amazed anymore. And really, it takes a whole lot more to amaze us than has ever taken to amaze us. Revelation chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." And too many of us, the older we get in our faith, we're not jumping pews for Jesus anymore. We're not waving hankies for Jesus anymore. We're not even waving our hand for Jesus anymore. We're just a grouch sitting there on the log saying, "Bless me if you can." And I come and I still see the verses in Scripture like Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men." So I'm saying, come on. If we should get old in any of our area of our life, it should not be in our faith. We should be fired up. We should be zealous in our faith. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." What it's saying is, hey, if you can't do something now, do it with all of your might, because when you're dead and gone, you can't do jack. So I come this morning. Three keys to staying young. Three keys to being zealous. Some of you just started filling out that CD request form for your spouse. Sermons entitled "Old, Cranky, and Lazy." First truth I want you to see. Apollos. Now, I love this guy, Apollos. I love that he was a fireball. I love that he was a 220, if you will, in a 110 world. I mean, he never got over the thrill of Calvary's Hill. And notice this Apollos, first of all, Apollos the student. Acts 18, verse 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria," notice what it says, "an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. So Apollos, here it tells us, was a Jew who was born in Alexandria. Alexandria was in northern Egypt. Alexandria was the second largest city in the Roman Empire. Alexandria had the largest library in the world. Definitely one of the best universities in the world, quite possibly the best university in the world at that time, was in Alexandria. Alexandria was the home of 4,000 Hellenistic Jews, or Greek-speaking Jews. So they had this large Jewish population. If you remember, Alexandria is where they transliterated the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So they had a very Jewish population, so therefore they had a synagogue, and it was a very large synagogue. Honestly, reading history this week, they had a guy that would have on a little platform halfway back in the synagogue that would have a flag. And they didn't have the big IMAG screens. So the job of this guy was he'd have this flag. And so when they were supposed to praise the Lord, he would be waving their flag because they were so far back there they couldn't see the podium. And I was like, I might try that here. Get somebody up here and say, all right, it's time to praise the Lord. And he waves the flag, but I'm afraid some of you would just stare at him. Now, notice what it says. He was an eloquent man. It means he was a learned man, or he was an educated man. Now, he was educated in the arts and the sciences, but he excelled in the studies of Scripture. Notice what it says. He was mighty in the Scriptures. It means he was strong in the Scriptures. It means he was knowledgeable in the Scriptures. The word mighty is dynamos. We get our word dynamite. So he was very strong and capable in knowing God's Word. You say, how did it happen? Listen, he studied. He was a student of Scripture. You will never be strong in your faith unless you have that regular time of just studying Scripture. You will never be mighty in the Scriptures and be able to do great things for the Lord unless you study, Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Apollos was mighty because he studied. Now you come to our generation. And I'm not ripping on our generation. But too many of us are very adept at studying Facebook feeds. You just keep clicking that phone and looking at that Facebook and all of the news and all of the gossip, and you're good. If you got brains by doing that little scan up with your finger, some of you would be geniuses. But biblically, you're illiterate. Friend, I'm not anti-Facebook. I'm on Facebook. So I'm not ripping on Facebook. I'm ripping on anything that goes ahead of Scripture. This Apollos was a student of the Word. So he made this book a priority. And fine, you're going to be on Facebook. Fine, go for it. But you should never be on Facebook until you spent time with God. You should never be reading everybody's gossip about what they're doing and what they want to do tomorrow until you have read God's message for you today. I'm here to say, if you blow off God for TV, for Facebook, for whatever else the social media is, you're foolish. This Apollos was young at heart because he was a student. Hold on a second. May each of us never stop learning. May we never... I can't prove this medically, but I am convinced when you cut your mind off, it shuts down. Man, keep reading. You say, I'm not a reader. Who cares if you're a reader? Start reading to keep your mind active. A lot of times I'll go visit our seniors, and they're doing their little crossword puzzles. And the other day I was visiting one of our seniors and they're doing their crossword puzzles. And I said, why do you do that? Why are you doing those crossword puzzles? So what she said, I want to keep my mind going and active. I was like, well, amen. And I'm all for crossword puzzles. I'm all for the Bible as well. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. We should be students of Scripture. Look on at verse 25. The man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was grounded in the things of God. But it says, he only knew the baptism of John. So he had a limited understanding. He taught Jesus accurately. So he was looking forward. There's a Messiah coming. Jesus coming. He's coming from heaven. He's coming to earth. He's dying for the sins of mankind. So his message was accurate. His message was just incomplete. It was an Old Testament message. It wasn't a New Testament message. He left out Pentecost. He left out the coming of the Holy Spirit. He left out the birth of the church. He left out the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. He left out the invitation of Gentiles be given the Holy Spirit and being brought into the church. Hey, he had Jesus of the Old Testament, but he was missing the Jesus of the New Testament, verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. You look at him, verse 25, he's fervent, he's diligent. Verse 20, he speaks boldly in the synagogue, which when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, heard him teach, and heard him teach in a Old Testament message, and that he was missing all that had happened in the New Testament. Now, what they did, they didn't go home and criticize. They didn't go home and say, oh, that young preacher, that young whippersnapper, he's such an ignoramus. They didn't talk about him. Look what the verse says. It says, they took him unto them. If you look it up in the Greek, it means they took him home with them, fixed him fried chicken, lemonade, and banana pudding, and taught Jesus. Hey, there are young people in your life that don't quite have it all together, and you can turn up your nose about them. You can criticize them. You can say, oh, I just don't like that. Rah, 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 rah. They're never going to get your message. But if you will bring them unto you, I'm telling you, fried chicken, lemonade, and banana pudding works every time. Just bring them close, befriend them, and talk to them about Jesus. But what I see here, he was teachable. You know what I mean? Sometimes the older we get, the more stuck in our ways we get. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we just kind of like the way it is, and we don't want to mess with any of this newfangled thinking. Testimony. The other day, Tori and I were going on an errand, and she was following me, and she didn't like the way I went. So I dropped her off, and she's coming back with me. She said, Dad, let me show you another way to go that's a whole lot faster and a whole lot better. I'm like, okay. And as much as it pains me to admit it with her here, it actually was a little bit faster. I don't know about better, but it was a little bit faster. So we went on our way. A few days later, we were going the same route again, and I went my way, not her way.
She said, Dad, I showed you a faster way. And I said, yeah, but the scenery's not as good on that route. I like this route.
You know what my deal was? I just didn't want to admit I was wrong. I'm just stubborn. I've been going this way for a long time, and I want to do it the way I've always done it. So don't show me some newfangled, quicker route. I like my own route.
I was like,
Some of us are just like that. Hey, I'm not saying we have to do everything that these young bucks come up with, but we should be teachable. Hold on a second. Some of you young bucks, you need to be teachable as well and stop spouting off like you are a stinking know-it-all and have it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. All of us should be teachable. Think about the big difference between Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos. Aquila and Priscilla were old. Apollos was young. They were married. He was single. They were uneducated. He was very educated. They made tents for a living, so they were very middle blue-collar workers. He evidently had money because he's traveling all over Europe. Apollos was greatly impacted by people that were different than him. Do you get that? Some of you can learn a lot from people just like you. But what if they're not just like you? What if they might be a different color? Or a different gender? Or a different age? He was teachable. Apollos, the student. Secondly, notice, Apollos, the servant. Notice verse 25. The man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That word fervent means zealous. It means boiling over in spirit. It means fireball. It means fired up. It means Apollos showed up and he says, what can I do? What can I do? I just want to help. Just tell me, what can I do? If you want to stay young spiritually, you must be a student forever for your whole life. But you must be a servant for your whole life. Just, hey, just tell me what you want to do. Tell me where to serve, and I'm here to serve. Look at verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard. So he was zealous in everything that he did. He wasn't some just shy, reserved, saying, I don't want any attention on me. No, no. He was out there. Please just let me serve. Now listen, all of us like servants. When it's a waitress. Man, you like that waitress to keep very good attention of that water glass. And hey, can I get you seconds on that menu? Hey, you want some more? You like it when it comes to the waitress. You like the servant. Hey, you like it when it comes to that doctor. Oh, that doctor, he has such great bedside manners. He just sits down and he just takes time with me and he just asks. And he's so thorough and he's so nice and he's so compassionate. You like servants when it comes to doctors, when it comes to the restaurant employees. You like servants when it comes to the hardware store. You ever been to the hardware store? I was there yesterday. And you can't find anything in there. I mean, they hide those things behind other things. And you like somebody that's a servant when you can't find what you're looking for in the hardware store. And they come and say, can I help you? Oh, yeah, it's right over here, right here under that name tag that it identifies. It's right there. Here, how many of you want? We like servants in those areas. Too many times we don't like being servants. Too many times, no, I want people to serve me, but don't ask me to serve. Hey! I don't feel like it. I just don't enjoy it. It just doesn't turn my crank, if you will. You like the waitress at the restaurant when she serves you, even though she doesn't feel like it, even though it doesn't turn her crank, she still serves you. So why don't you be like her? Oh, Apollos was a servant. Look at verse 27. And he was disposed to pass into Achaia. The brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him who, when he was come, helped them which had believed through grace. So disposed means to desire, to be willing. So he was burdened. He was desiring to cross the Aegean Sea into Achaia. For if you go on a few verses forward, Acts chapter 19, verse 1, he ended up going into Corinth. Corinth was wicked. Corinth hated Christians. Corinth especially hated preachers. So here he is. He's disposed. He is desiring. He is burdened. He is willing. God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. You just tell me. And God says, go to Corinth. That's where I want you. Do you get this, Apollos? He was just a servant. God, there's no task too menial. God, there's no task that I'm going to fuss about. Whatever you want me to do, even if it's Corinth, and those people in Corinth are just awful, if you want me to go to Corinth, I'll go to Corinth. Yesterday, I asked those awful words, trying to be a good husband. Honey, is there anything I can help you with? You know, the thought should go a long ways. Wives should not take husbands up on that question. It's just kind of to show that we do have compassion in our heart. Honey, is there anything that I can help you with? Well, she took me as I meant those words. And she started listening. Can you do this and this and this? And listen, so you know, I did this and this and this with a good attitude. But I was like, oh, really? I just tried to be nice. Apollos wasn't just trying to be nice. God, I'm here to serve. Church folk, I'm here to serve. So whatever you need, it doesn't matter if it's late or early, it doesn't matter if I got something else going on. Please, I'm just here to serve. Your Christian life would be much better if you were more serving. Apollos, the servant. Someone has said, church is a lot like football. 22 men on the field who desperately need rest, and 22,000 people in the stands who desperately need exercise. And I'm here to say, in the church, there are a few that do most of the work, and there's a whole lot more that are spectators, not very good at cheering, but that are spectators that need some exercise. It would do all of us well. Serve, 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 serve. Apollos, the student. Apollos, the servant. Hey, let me show you this one truth, and I'll move on. Look at the last part of verse 27. Who, when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. There are different scholars who talk about what that last phrase means. So Apollos came and he helped those who had believed in the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's definitely what it means, and that's what everybody says it means. There are other scholars who say Apollos helped those who believed, and the way he helped them was by ministering grace to them. You understand what grace is? Giving people what they don't deserve. Hold on a second. We need to give the invitation right now. Now, it's easy to serve people that make me banana pudding. Oh, man, I'll serve you all day long. And if you'll bring me some of those orange circus peanuts, oh, man, I'll just start speaking in tongues, and I'll love you, and it'll all be great. But those few people that I don't love, I struggle serving them. Ministering grace to those who don't deserve it. That, my friend, listen. That will keep you young. Because you can't do that in the power of the flesh. You can only do that in the power of the Spirit. Ministering grace to those who abuse you and despitefully use you. Apollos, the servant. Thirdly, Apollos, the soul winner. My favorite point. will be done. Look at verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So he was persistent in his witness. He just kept going on and on and on. Everywhere he went, he was telling people about Jesus. How did he tell them? Look what it says. He convinced them by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So he explained the Scripture to him. So he was a student, which helped him to be a servant, which helped him to be a soul winner. Do you see how it progresses? You study Scripture. You're obedient to be in the Word. And that's going to help you to be a servant and to serve people you don't even like. And that's going to help you to share your faith with people who really need it. That's what old Apollos did. Everywhere he went, he was sharing Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we had the evangelistic team that was in here, and they came in and they were doing our youth revival. So we went out and we're canvassing the area, and we had teenagers that were going with these college students that were inviting them to come to the youth revival. I was amazed at their zeal. I was amazed at their boldness. I was amazed at how they didn't let anything stop them or make them quit or hold back. So we're down in Carthage, and there are these big old thugs. Pardon my language. Big old strong muscular football player types. This little scrawny guy wasn't intimidated by them at all. Seriously, we're on one side of the parking lot, and the thugs, if you will, are on the other side of the parking lot. Little scrawny guy, they could have broken him into a million pieces. Go sprinting up to them. Hey, we got this youth revival going on, and you guys are going to love it. Come on, tell me your name and your telephone number, and so that we can get you to come and get you there tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. What's your name and telephone number? I was like, oh man, this is going to be bad. I'm just the driver, so it wasn't me that was going out and inviting people. I'm just driving and making sure if I got to call 911, I do it. So here he's sprinting over there. I see him going to these thugs. I say, oh no. And then they're listening to this guy. And I see him take out his pen and he's writing down names and telephone numbers of thugs. And he's looking up at them. And I was like, how did he do that? Boldness because of Jesus. Some of you, there are some thugs in your life, and they would get saved if you would share Jesus with them. But see, if you're so consumed, well, what are they going to think of me? And oh, may they may make fun of me, and oh, they may laugh at me, and they may say something mean to me. Who cares? They need Jesus. Are you going to go and share or not? That's what it says. He mightily convinced the Jews. He was empowered divinely to convince the Jews. Stories told of a lady they called Aunt Sophia. She washed clothes, but she had met Jesus, and she said, my ministry in life is to wash clothes and to preach. So anybody that came into her little laundromat, she would be washing clothes, folding clothes, ironing clothes, and talking Jesus. And she led, and not educated in any way, shape, or form, not intimidated in any way, shape, or form. She didn't care if you had on the nicest suit and the nicest tie, if you drove the nicest car. She didn't care. She had two things to do: wash clothes and preach Jesus. And she led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord. One day they were making fun of her because as she got older, she couldn't see well. And she saw she was out going to eat at a restaurant, and they had a wooden Indian out in front of this store. Well, she went up and she started preaching or witnessing to this wooden Indian how the wooden Indian needed Jesus. And they got her and said, "Hey, come on, Aunt Sophia. That's a wooden Indian." This is what she said. "My eyesight's not good, but talking about Christ to a wooden Indian is not so bad as someone being a wooden Christian and never talking to anybody about Jesus." And too many of us are wooden Indians when we should open up our mouth and sing His praises for endless ages because He's worthy. So this, and I'm done. I'm not asking you to do something impossible. I'm asking you to do something supernatural. So the idea of you being a student and the idea of you being a servant and the idea of you being a supernatural, you just say, a soul winner, I just can't do it. Sorry. I can't do it. Now listen and don't miss this. If you were to tell me to fly, I would tell you I couldn't do it. Now, there was a time I could barely, if it was the little basketball, I could dunk the basketball, that 10-foot high rim, 9-foot, 8 rim. I could just barely get it in, but I can't fly. I mean, I could be here and I could be flapping my arms. I'm going nowhere. I mean, I could jump as high as I can today, but I'm old. I can't fly. But they make something called an airplane. And if I get inside that airplane will enable me to do what I could never do. That airplane will enable me to go heights I could never go on my own and to soar and see things that I could never see in my feeble little body. But when I'm in that airplane, I could do what I never could do. And I come to you and I say, stay young spiritually. You need to be a student. You need to be a servant. You need to be a soul winner. You say, preacher, I'm not a good reader. I just don't like helping people. And I'm afraid what they're going to say to me. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you to put yourself in Christ. I'm asking you to put yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so tomorrow morning, the alarm clock goes off, and you open up your Bible and you say, Jesus, I need you to help me do something that I can't do on my own. Teach me your word. And then you're going to go to work, and that guy you really don't like, you're like, oh, Jesus, you want me to serve him and show him grace. I don't like him. I just want to punch him. Jesus, I'm putting myself in you so that what I could not do on my own, through you, Jesus, I can. And then you're going to see that girl who has the really checkered past. And she's crying. And you say, oh, no, I can't. She's got issues and she's got substance issues. And you're going to say, Jesus, you put that girl in my path. And in me, I can't. But in you, you will give me the words to say, Jesus, I am in you. I am empowered by you. I'm going to go witness. So I'm here to say, you cannot do it. But if you place yourself in Christ, you can do it. Student, servant, soul winner. This, and I'm done again. Name is Falja Singh. S-I-N-G-H. Falja Singh. If the screen was working, I would put him on the screen. Still alive. He is 107 years old right now. He's from India. I'm jealous of him. He ran his last, listen to this, marathon a year ago. 106 years old, he's running a marathon. Man, I run to the refrigerator and back and I get tired. At 107, he's still going. How about you? Student, servant, soul winner. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll do wonders in this community and in this church.